A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, December 14th, 2014. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. And here are our top stories this evening. Some war veterans say they welcome the new Ministry of Welfare Services for war veterans, but will wait to see how they will benefit from the ministry.
We are welcoming that as a freedom fighters. But what we want is that ministry also, it is there to cater the issues of or the challenges of the war veterans.
And United Nations Special Rapporteur on Independence of Judges and Lawyers visits Zimbabwe in observance of Human Rights Day and holds meetings in collaboration with the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights.
She said that there was still more that needed to be done, especially by state agencies and government officials, to ensure that those human rights that are contained in the Bill of Rights are actually given effect to.
Some war veterans say they welcome the new Ministry of Welfare Services for war veterans, but will wait to see how they will benefit from it. President Robert Mugabe on Friday swore in Minister Christopher Muchangwa to head the ministry that will look after war veterans. We spoke to ex-combatant Max Nkandla on the issue.
We are welcoming that as a freedom fighters, but what we want is to put things correct. That ministry also, it is there to cater the issues of or the challenges of the war veterans. All what we want is for them to deliver, and then also to make it a point that the war veterans will not be used by any political party as an institution, but as individuals, yes. They must exercise what we fought for to stick to the aims and the objectives of the armed struggle. That is what we are actually looking at.
What are some of the issues that you'd like to see addressed?
The other issues that we are actually looking for is the day of the war veterans. The day since when it was signed, the Lancaster House, we wanted that day to be observed as a holiday. That is what we are demanding as war veterans. We must have that day. So these leaders and then that ministry as war veterans, this is what they must actually bring into that calendar. That is what we are actually looking for. And then we are also expecting nothing short of transparency and then proper recognition of the war veterans. And then the war veterans should go in, learn whatever challenges through that ministry. Besides that, we will not take anything. There are other people who are not vetted. We are still languishing and struggling to meet the means of the day. They have got to be recognized, to be vetted, and then to be given their dues.
What is your view on the two sworn-in vice presidents? You worked with Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa and Mr. Pikazele Mpoko. Are they going to deliver to you as war veterans?
It is a right for them to deliver the issues of the war veterans. Since they were commanders and then these people were, both of them, they were actually specialized in intelligence. They know exactly what is on the ground. They are there to unite senior commanders and junior commanders, and then also to execute their duties exceptionally without undermining any side that there is a zebra or zander, but to bring these people under one camp and then to make it a point that they actually meet the needs of the war veterans, as both of them, they are members of the zebra and zander high commanders.
That was ex-combatant Max Nkandla in Bulawayo. The United Nations Special Rapporteur on Independence of Judges and Lawyers visited Zimbabwe last week in observance of Human Rights Day and held meetings in collaboration with the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. We spoke to Zimbabwe Chimbra of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights on the visit.
Well, the significance of that meeting we had on Friday was it was coming in during the week where we are celebrating the International Human Rights Day that falls on the 10th of December. It was a meeting that was coordinated and organized by Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights and the NGO Forum. And our guest was the special rapporteur on the independence of judges and prosecutors. And she was here to share her experiences as a UN special rapporteur on what she's been doing across the world, and also to give us some of her perspectives on how here in Zimbabwe we can enhance the protection of human rights.
And what was her perspective in terms of Zimbabwe comparing with what she has seen around the world when it comes to human rights?
Well, she acknowledged the fact that we have a new constitution that protects human rights, especially Bill of Rights. But she said that there was still more that needed to be done, especially by state agencies and government officials, to ensure that those human rights that are contained in the Bill of Rights are actually given effect to. She also encouraged Zimbabwe to ensure that whenever issues of human rights, governance and rule of law are being discussed, the people, the community, the people on the ground must be involved. They are the ones that are supposed to enjoy these human rights. And the government has the obligation to ensure that those human rights are enjoyed. So it's an all-inclusive process that includes the people on the ground, state actors, the judiciary, the lawyers, the prosecutors, all the people that are involved in the rule of law.
That was Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights representative Zimbabwe Chimbra in Harare. Lawyers representing Itai Dzamara, an activist calling for the removal of President Robert Mugabe, says they will file papers to the police informing them of their decision to sue for the abuse of Dzamara that he faced at the hands of the police. Lawyer Danford Halimani says the law requires those that want to sue the police to inform them 60 days before suing. Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri speaks to Halimani on the issue.
We have received instructions from Mr. Dzamara to institute proceedings against police following the assault committed upon his person on the 6th of November by members of the police while he was staging his peaceful protest in the Africa Unity Square Park.
Who are the other people being sued by Mr. Dzamara?
Mr. Dzamara is suing the assistant inspector, Temi, in his personal capacity. He was the man who was leading the police officers who assaulted Mr. Dzamara. We are also citing the Commissioner General of Police in his official capacity. We are also citing the Minister of Home Affairs, who is the minister responsible for the conduct of police in this country. So those are the parties we are suing. Unfortunately, Mr. Dzamara was unable to identify some of the police officers who were accompanying Mr. Temi, but we believe those we have cited are enough for purposes of us instituting this proceeding. In terms of the State Liabilities Act, the police are entitled to at least 60 days' notice within which to respond or comply with the demands being made by Mr. Dzamara.
That was Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri speaking to Danford Halimani on the phone in Harare. Performing artist Hope Masike, who visited the United States on an arts exchange program last month, shared some of her experiences that she learned in the United States and is trying to implement in Zimbabwe. She says some of the experiences are difficult to implement at home.
I learned a lot of things when I was in the States. And it was from musicians from the States and also from the other musicians who were part of the program who were from other countries. For instance, online methods of promoting your music, other different members that we were not yet using. We are not yet using at home. However, I'd like to say some of the methods work very, very well when you come back home and you use them. But some of the methods do not work exactly as well as they do when you're in America.
Can you give us an example of one of the methods
yes.
that you were taught here but are not working in Zimbabwe?
For instance, one example is the internet is a very, very big tool that is being used in the world to market music. I would say in many places it's the dominant method to market your music. Here in Zimbabwe, the Zimbabwean market, it's not as effective as it is in the States because to start with, not everyone has access to internet. And even though quite a lot of people have access to internet now, thanks to Econet and Telecel, the internet is still relatively slow. So even if you send videos and things like that, sometimes people cannot watch. And because of that, the results are a bit different from when you are in the States. Even to upload your music online, if you decide you want to launch your single online, it's not as easy as it would be when you are in the States. However, some of the things that we exchanged when we were there, the ideas that we got from the other musicians, work regardless of the environment.
Do you have anything lined up end of the year?
And yes, I have a lot of things lined up for the end of the year. This is the busiest season for us artists here at home. So, like, I have a concert at Allianz Française. At this time, I will not play Mvira at all. I will be singing jazz with Filbert Marora. If you remember Filbert Marora from Bipi Yangu Yakira in Jazz Invitation. I'm looking forward to that very much because it's been long since I've only sung without playing Mvira. And then there are several other concerts around Harare that I will be doing during the festive season until we get to the beginning of January when all of us rest.
As you move forward as an artist, what would you yes. say to some people out there who are listening and would like to also take up this profession?
What I would like to say to anyone else who would like to take up music as a profession is this is one of the industries that is really growing in Zimbabwe. And the fact that platforms are being created where us artists meet policymakers and we discuss matters that are affecting the industry. And everyone is pushing for the industrialization of the industry and for the industry to support the country's GDP. The fact that we are sitting down and discussing things like that, it means the future is very bright and there are going to be more job opportunities in the arts and culture industry. So whoever feels they have talent or they just want to work in the creative industries, I would really encourage them to perfect their art because better days are coming.
That was performing artist Hope Masike in Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Nkosilati Moyo, who is the director of the Zimbabwe Organization for the Youth in Politics. Nkosilati, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you, Katenga. Thank you very much.
Nkosilati, over the past several weeks, there has been a lot going on within the ruling party of ZANU-PF. But the question becomes, where do the youth play a role in what's going on within the party itself with its succession issues, but then also generally within the political landscape of Zimbabwe? Where do the youth come in?
Okay, ZANU-PF is going through very serious problems, very serious factional politics. In which this is the moment, this is the time that the young people or the youths who belong to the youth, to the youthling of this very party will go through a lot of political expedients where they will be used for the selfish interest of the big guys in the party. If you're following what we read through the media and what we're also seeing.
As you're pointing out, that's one of the issues that a lot of organizations usually point out, to say that youth are used in political propaganda. But can we not say that the youth within ZANU-PF or even youth generally in Zimbabwe don't have a role when it comes to what's going on within ZANU-PF and just the political landscape itself? That's not negative.
Okay. I think the young people, yes, you know, most of these politicians take advantage of the young people's state of desperation. So those young people who are in those political parties, not necessarily in ZANU-PF or other political parties, they are not employed, they are economically crippled. So most of them, they just get into those political parties, you know, to kind of source for material gain. So this makes them very vulnerable to manipulation. That's why in most of these processes, like what is happening in ZANU-PF these days, if they are there to organize demonstrations against another leader of a certain faction, the youth will be at the forefront.
But what role do youths have to play when it comes to politics in this day and age, in 2014? Can the youths really have a strong impact in what happens in Zimbabwe?
Oh, yes, yes. The youth, as you know, constitute the majority of the electorate in Zimbabwe. Actually, there must be people, the group of people who influence the politics of the country. Unfortunately, there is a culture or there is an impression that as the youth, we are to do more of following than leading. This is why you were always told this statement that you are leaders of tomorrow, you are leaders of tomorrow. This is that the young people then be given an impression that they are only duty or the only role that they can play in political parties is just to follow. So the youth, being the majority, they can really understand that they are one of the most critical group of people in our politics. I think they would then take this or use each and every moment to then stand up and influence the politics of the country.
Your organization deals with youth in politics. Would you say that there is a wide enough net of young people who are working hard to deal with politics within the country? And also, are they being given that space?
Yeah, what we have realized through our work with the youth, we have realized that most of the youth who are in politics, they are youth who are popularly known as Mawindi. They can load the bus, and when the bus is full, they don't get in. So they just load the bus, and those who are going, they just go and they'll be left at that particular bus station. So this is what happens with the youth. So the young people are not being given enough chance, enough opportunities to participate in policy-making and decision-making.
And the talk of the day is the ZANU-PF succession issue. But where do the young people within the party come into this conversation and discussion? There isn't much talk about the young members of the party being able to be elevated to higher roles within ZANU-PF. What happens there?
Unfortunately, if I may be very frank, the young people at this time, you know, in the politics, the only thing that they are doing is just to sing or maybe send to demonstrate against so and so. But I don't see any young person being elevated. ZANU-PF is always do a recycle of leaders. This is why you see most of the ministers. When I was still at preschool, primary school, up to now, I'm a grown-up man, they're still ministers. So ZANU-PF recycle its leaders, whether they are corrupt or whether they have many allegations or they do not deliver, but they just recycle the same leaders. So little or space or nothing is being given or nothing is being done to try and elevate young leaders. There are many bright young leaders in ZANU-PF, but how I see it, if I may try to analyze it, there's no chance for young people to be elevated, but rather to recycle.
And so what happens next, you know, for young people in politics?
I would encourage the young people to stand up and just seize the moment and demand their space, be it in ZANU-PF, be it in any political party. The young people must stand up and demand their space, because no one is going to give them that space in a silver platter. They'd rather stand up and demand it.
Nkosilati, thank you so much as usual for joining me on the Youth Forum today. A great discussion.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
That was Nkosilati Moyo, director of the Zimbabwe Organization for the Youth in Politics, speaking with me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next time.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo, for the Youth Forum. Now to recap on today's top stories. Some war veterans say they welcome the new Ministry of Welfare Services for War Veterans, but will wait to see how they will benefit from it. And the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Independence of Judges and Lawyers visits Zimbabwe in observance of the Human Rights Day and holds meetings in collaboration with the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. That's our broadcast this evening. And now stand by for Studio 7 News in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.
Siyabonga Marvelous, siyalamukela ku Studio 7 ngensonto.